Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Brian, thank you very much for that. Now, it's been 108 days since the outbreak of the Israel-Hamas war. In Gaza, nearly 2 million people have been displaced, thousands of homes destroyed, and over the weekend, the Hamas-run health ministry announced that 25,000 people have now died, including 10,000 children. When the militant group Hamas broke into southern Israel on the 7th of October and killed 1,200 people and kidnapped some 250 more, the world was united in its outcry against the brutal and senseless terrorist attack. Well, in the weeks and months since, the scale of the destruction in Gaza has led to a genocide hearing at the International Court of Justice in The Hague. Well, I'm joined now in the studio by Dana Ehrlich, who is the Israeli ambassador to Ireland. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
I just want to begin by trying to understand how the Israeli state views the current conflict before we discuss how those of us outside of it view it. Because you lost more citizens on the 7th of October than you lost in 5 years of suicide bombings during the second Intifada. Can you just tell us from your perspective the impact of that day?
The day that Hamas started this awful war on us is the day that more Jewish people were killed since the Holocaust. And it was the day that with most casualties since the Yom Kippur War. So for us, historically, this is a war that we are still measuring its consequences. And we didn't want this war. We didn't want to be here 108 days after this horrible attack started and still be calling for the release of the kidnapped, still have rockets fired at Israel every day, and still hear the Hamas leadership say shamelessly that they will repeat it again and again.
You are resisting calls, or your government is resisting calls, to deal with the issue of the hostages in a diplomatic way. Why is that?
We are not rejecting that, as we've shown in the past, that when there was an opportunity, we did agree to a ceasefire. It's important to remember that Hamas broke that ceasefire. And we appreciate calls like the European Parliament last week, which called for a ceasefire, provided that all the kidnapped will be returned and Hamas is dismantled.
I was looking at polling, though, in Israel, which showed the majority say they want to prioritize bringing the hostages home over the potential aim of destroying Hamas.
I don't think it's an either or. I think all of us want to see all of them come back. Last week, we marked the horrible first birthday of Kfir Bibas, a baby who's just, he spent most of his life in captivity now, which is unimaginable. So we want all of us, we are united on this. We want to see all of them come back. But we also need to make sure that our people are safe.
Mm-hmm. But yet, you know, you talk in such moving terms about that baby and the terrible fate of that child. And yet, the 10,000 children who have been killed. And I'm sure you're the same as me. I'm sure you find it difficult to look at those pictures of children who have been killed, who have been horribly injured, who have been orphaned, who are starving now.
I agree. It's a tragedy. And every life is precious. Every life is important, not just for those persons, for that child's family, but for all of us. And this can stop tomorrow if Hamas decides so. The same way that they decided to launch this war, if they release all the hostages, if they declare a ceasefire, all of this can end. Mm-hmm. And this is what we need to say publicly.
Yeah, that's not how your government says it will end, though. Your government wants to destroy, to annihilate Hamas.
To eliminate the threat. I don't think any government in any country will allow that some of a threat to live on its doorstep. I think it's a reasonable, not just the self-defense, but it's the responsibility to make sure that the security of our people is maintained.
Mm-hmm. I'm just looking at some figures this morning, and the international estimate is that between 5,000 and 6,000 Hamas fighters have been killed since Israel began this. It's not working, is it?
The numbers are higher.
Dispute that. You say 9,000, but let's say it is 9,000. It is still not achieving the aim, given the number of civilians who have died.
we are fighting an impossible enemy. An impossible enemy because not only do they not hold our lives valuable, but they want to maximize the death on the Palestinian side. They're sacrificing their people. They're using them as human shields. Mm-hmm. And it's such a cynical terror playbook that Hamas is playing. And they're, unfortunately, the way that they're doing so, embedding themselves in civilian infrastructures, in schools, in hospitals, in mosques. We've seen them, the amount of aid, that the money that goes into the infrastructure of the terror tunnels, so much concrete that could have been used for civilian purposes. But again, it's just aimed at hatred towards us.
So if this is impossible to achieve, and you say that this is an impossible enemy to fight, why are you doing it in this way?
It is still our responsibility to protect our people. And we're doing this still abiding by international law and according to the rules of war.
Well, that is isn't it, at The Hague? I mean, how does it feel to be accused of genocide for
Israel?
It is
just that we reject it categorically. And when we have the professor who wrote the booklet on international law presenting the case for Israel, then we understand how false and absurd the allegations of South Africa are.
Okay, I want to move to what was said by Gadi Eisenkot, who is one of your ministers in recent days. He said, those advocating absolute defeat of Hamas are not speaking the truth.
Well, right now we're trying to eliminate the threat of Hamas. Rockets are still being fired at Israel every day. I think it's something that people here in Ireland forget. It's sometimes described as was a one-day attack on October 7th, and since then it was only Israel. We need to remember that attacks on the side of Hamas continue every day. We need to remember that they're still abusing their own population every day. We need to address it. And you're right that this is a very hard task, and this is why we need the international community's help.
Mm-hmm. But my point, I suppose, is that your war cabinet is not united on this aim.
We're a democracy. I don't think there's any unanimity in voices, and those voices need to be heard. At the end of the day, still, the cabinet makes those decisions. And I think, like in Ireland, we are a coalition government with different voices, and we embrace that.
Mm-hmm. And the ability of Hamas to still put troops, I was reading on the New York Times this morning, they're still putting troops on the ground in Gaza. That also raises questions about your strategy for war.
The way that Hamas operates, and I don't know if any army in recent times has had to deal with this kind of urban warfare, which is above ground, but also underground, when, again, cynically exploiting their own people and cynically either not letting them evacuate or forcing them to come back to northern Gaza, not giving aid to their population. It's just, yeah, we're fighting a very cynical, brutal terror organization.
Mm. I was listening to an interview with a British MP at the weekend. Her family have been hiding out in a church, a Christian church in Gaza, since all of this began. And she said, I want to state categorically, Hamas is not forcing me to stay here. What Israel is doing is forcing me to stay here.
We've been asking the people to evacuate to south of Gaza. We know that some of the Christian population, which is persecuted by Hamas, is finding shelter in churches. We've asked them to evacuate to other areas which are safer.
They're safer.
Nobody is safe under Hamas ruling.
But this is the problem. There is nowhere for them to go because nowhere is safe.
We need to help that population. We need to release Gaza from Hamas, but we need to do it together as an international community. The same way that globally we addressed the threat of ISIS, we need to come together and address this terror threat because we see it now with the Iranian-backed Houthis. We see it with Hezbollah in Lebanon. This is a threat to all of us, and we need to work together. And this is something that many countries understand, including Arab countries.
Yeah, you've mentioned the potential areas of escalation there. How concerned are you that that's going to happen now?
We're very concerned, and we've been saying repeatedly throughout the years, we see how Iran sponsors these terror organizations, how they train them, how they collaborate with them. This is why we need to work together. This is something that is threatening now our global shipping. And this is something that will affect all of us internationally. This war against terror that mm-hmm. Israel is fighting, it's not just our war. And this is why we need the help of the international community.
But Ambassador, is there any death toll, any ratio of the death of civilians to combatants where you would personally say, enough is enough and I can no longer defend this?
But we've been saying this from the first day. On October 7th, first of all, this shouldn't have started. And this needs to end, and this could end already. These numbers, as you say, what's happening in Gaza is a tragedy. The tragedy of people hostages by their own government, by their own leadership. This needs to be addressed. And I understand the sentiment here, the pro-Palestinian sentiment, which obviously we accept. But I don't think we're benefiting the people of Gaza if we're not addressing and holding Hamas accountable. Mm-hmm. This is what I ask the people here to do.
But say we're sitting here in 6 months' time and what the UN fears comes to pass and there is starvation in Gaza and there are 50,000 people dead. Let's hope it never comes to that. Would you still be justifying it at that point?
I just to address that narrative of starvation, there is international aid going in, hundreds of trucks going in. There is no limit to the amount of trucks that can go in.
Not enough. According to what I read this morning, the Americans, the British and the EU
the main
are struggling
challenge
to find a new channel where you will stop the restrictions on the aid coming in because the examinations and the regulations.
There are no restrictions.
That is not what they say.
We've opened another crossing. We've opened extended hours of working. We asked the UN to put in more people on the ground. We've asked them, the UN organizations, to facilitate more hours in order to make sure that more trucks are going in. Mm-hmm. That hasn't been done yet.
Yeah, but the Americans, who are your allies, of course, they are struggling to have a new entry point for aid because they say not enough is coming in.
Because we need more people on the ground from UN organizations facilitating that. Can we make sure also that that aid that goes into the people who actually need it? Because we've seen Hamas looting and stealing some of these trucks. Also, I didn't hear a lot of condemnation for that publicly here.
Mm. Let's talk about the World Health Organization, organizations like Medecins Sans Frontières. They say that hospitals have been turned into morgues, into ruins, no longer usable in most cases.
It's the same organizations that have not reached out to make sure that our kidnapped are alive or are getting medications. It's the same organizations that are there on the ground and have seen the abuse of hospitals by Hamas and that they're being used as terror headquarters. We saw the amount of stockpile that was underneath the Shifa hospitals, the terror tunnels underneath these hospitals. And in a way, I can't blame these UN organizations on the ground because they're also at the mercy of Hamas. Mm-hmm. But it's up to all of us here outside of Gaza to say that publicly and to call out Hamas for what they're doing.
What about the Palestinian Red Cross this morning, Red Crescent Society rather? Their ambulances, they said this morning, can't reach the injured in Khan Yunis because their ambulance center is being targeted by Israeli forces.
Unfortunately, we've also seen that abuse of Hamas, the way that they smuggle their own terrorists and weapons in ambulances. And we've shown evidence to that time and time again. Everything, we've shown footage, we've shown declarations that they are saying that they're doing it. We've shown footage of our kidnapped being dragged in Shifa hospitals. And yet I didn't hear any condemnation from the WHO, from other UN organizations. That needs to be addressed.
So you're saying we have to kill medical workers. We have to kill ambulance drivers. We have to kill children.
That is completely not what I was saying. What I was saying is that Hamas is creating a double war crime, not only targeting our civilian population, but doing so from protected areas, from their civilian populations. That is a double war crime, and that needs to be addressed. Mm-hmm. And the same Red Cross that we ask for to reach out to our kidnapped and make sure that they're okay. And they haven't been able to do so so far. That also needs to be said publicly. And I don't hear their outcry. I don't see them calling in the street to have access for our kidnapped.
You, being based here in Ireland, and you'll be more than aware that there is a common trait that Ireland is anti-Israel. Do you share that view?
I understand that sometimes we have our differences, obviously. We see things very differently. I don't think that Ireland is anti-Israel. But I do feel that sometimes maybe there is an unconscious bias against Israel right now for 108 days since Hamas started this war.
Why do you think that is an unconscious bias?
I'll tell you what I see, why it is, you know, better than me. I'm still here only for 5 months, so I'm learning the country and its people. But what I see is that even reporting about the war, I don't hear a lot of responsibility and of what Hamas is doing. And you can be pro-Palestinian and worry for Palestinian life, but you're not helping them by not talking about what the atrocities of Hamas is doing to their own population.
But you will have heard reporting of the atrocities on the 7th of October. You will have heard that widely reported here in Ireland.
Yes, but that wasn't a one-day event. And I didn't hear a lot of commentary on the sexual violence against women, sexual violence against children, against elderly, the abuse of children and what they've done to just babies and children and their little bodies. It's horrific images.
Well, I can tell you now, I know it is horrific and it is dreadful. And our sympathies go to you and to your population in Israel. But we have covered that. To be fair, we have covered those dreadful stories here, certainly on RTE. But we do understand the cycle of violence and retribution more than most here in Ireland. And we understand that if you perpetuate that, it's much more difficult to reach a peaceful settlement.
This is not part of the so-called cycle of violence. This is something like we've never seen before. And the reasons that we repeat what happened on October 7th. And the reason that we talk about it, it's not just to bear witness, because there are already people who are saying that that did not happen or minimizing the atrocities, but it's also to understand the enemy that we are fighting, to understand that they say it. It's not just in the charter of Hamas that they will repeat it and the need to kill all Jewish people and Israelis, but the leadership says that they will do it again and again and again if given the opportunity. It is our responsibility to make sure that they don't have that opportunity again.
Can I ask you what your own belief is on what happens afterwards? Do you share your Prime Minister's view that Palestinians can't have sovereignty if that conflicts with Israel maintaining security control over Gaza?
What the Prime Minister also say is that the Palestinians need to be able to control themselves, but they can't have the opportunity to threaten Israel. And this is what we need to make sure.
So you need to have security control over Gaza.
Not over Gaza. We don't want to stay in Gaza. We don't have to have control over Gaza. But any future solution needs to address the security of Israel. We will not compromise on that. And throughout history, we've shown that we are willing to make huge compromises. And we've shown that we believe in peace and we need to do that for the safety of our children. But we will not forfeit and we will not do that on the expense of our security.
Okay. Dana Ehrlich, thank you very much for joining us. That's the Israeli ambassador to Ireland.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.